Padun Bekabot with the Jewish home. We're up to the fourth chapter, the first Mishnah. And we had discussed the teachings that Ben Zoma tells us. A wise man is he who could learn from everyone. A brave man is he who could conquer himself. A wealthy man is he who is happy with his lot. And we discussed that you never have everything. And the key is in the person himself. And an honored person is one who gives honor. And did we finish discussing that, giving honor? Did we discuss that last week? Yes, we did. Okay, so we'll go on to the second Mishnah. Ben Azai Omer, and Ben Azai was also a youngster. You know what, maybe we'll expand a little bit on honor. I don't remember how much we discussed it. I think we did. Okay. Okay, Mishnah Beis. Ben Azai says, Ben Azai Omer, Heveratz lemitzvah kala kevachamura. A person should run after a light mitzvah like a weighty mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are easy to perform, and so a person figures, I'll do it. I'll get a pair of tzitzis. What's the big deal? No. If you can accomplish an easy mitzvah, so do it. Uvoreach min avera, and run away from sin. Run away from sin. If a person gets accustomed to being careful, so then even when something harsh comes his way, his habit, his way of thought will be, I'm not going to do this, this is wrong. Shemitzvah goreret mitzvah. Because the way we act is that one mitzvah brings us to do another mitzvah. You do one mitzvah, then it gets easier to do another mitzvah. Va'avera goreret avera. And sin brings more sin after it. Shechar mitzvah mitzvah uschar avera avera. Because the wages of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and the wages of an avera is an avera. So, the simple understanding is, get into good habits. When couples argue, so they should have good habits of arguments too. No one should be physical. Couples should never use physical force against the will of one another. And sometimes people say, oh, it's just a joke, it's just this, just that. You know what? A lot of things started as just a joke. Certain things shouldn't happen. Chazal tell us that a way of life, well, one thing leads to another. You make one joke at someone's expense, it could lead to another joke. You just say one line that's a little bit inconsiderate, then she says one line that's a little inconsiderate, and then we have a fight brewing. We never know what's going to be that spark that lights the fire of machlokas. And so a person has to remember, Chazal warned us, stay away from the slightest thing. And we have the Torah says twice, lo tonu ish et amito. Don't afflict your fellow man. One is talking about don't be unfair in business. The second one is a biblical prohibition against saying anything that will cause a person pain. There's a mitzvah to say doraisa, a biblical prohibition against saying something that could hurt someone's feelings.
We maybe hear the word English word annoy and the word unah.
Okay. Okay.
As a remnant.
I hear. Okay. Yafeh. So, first of all, Ben Azai teaches us an attitude. Run after a light mitzvah. Very often in life, there are things that are not a big deal if we're interested in them. It's not a big deal to take out the garbage in the morning. It's not a big deal to make your bed, to throw your socks in the hamper. There are a bunch of little things that are not a big deal. So you know what? So let's do them if they're not a big deal. Heveiratz, Ben Azai teaches us, run to do mitzvah kala, a light and easy mitzvah. There was once a couple who was came to the rabbi, and they husband said, you know, I'm in this honorable position. It's not right that I should take out the garbage. And the wife was insistent that he should take out the garbage. And the rabbi said, he said to the young man, you know, you learn a lot of Torah, you're not in an honorable position, you're right, you should not take out the garbage. What time are you guys arguing about? So the wife said, 7:30 in the morning, that's when we have to take out the garbage. The rabbi said, well, Mrs. So-and-so, your husband's right. If Fine, they go home. The next morning, 7:30 in the morning, there's a knock on the door. The rabbi's standing there and he says, "Can I please have the garbage?" There are easy mitzvot. Very often people think that the major issues in between couples are big things. You'd be surprised. Most couples are like three-year-olds. No, you didn't? Yes, you did. You didn't tell me? Yes, I did. You didn't do it? Yes, I did. You can really boil down most arguments to that. And what's behind it is really an attitude. If the attitude is, I want to go and do it, so then, that breeds that attitude in the other person. And I always put you guys in charge, guys. If the women are listening to this, this isn't for you. But I, if I were talking to women, I'd tell them that. But the truth is, between me and you, you're the man in the house. You have to set the tone in the house in this vein. There were once two roommates where one roommate came in the first day, and her friend said to her, "Welcome to the room. I want you to know there's only one thing that really annoys me." So she's like, "Yeah." So she says, "Look, I want you to know there's one thing that'll really get me upset, and I don't want you to do it." So she's, "Yeah, what is that?" She says, "Look, I have my things here in this apartment, and I want you to take and use anything you want, and don't annoy me and start asking me, can I use this, can I take that? You can use whatever you want, and don't ask. Enjoy. We're here in the apartment together, and that's the only thing that'll annoy me if you keep asking me, can I and can't I? You can. You're welcome to use everything." Okay, you're welcome with that kind of attitude by a roommate. You automatically want to say the same. You might say, except for, but you still want to. You still, that giving breeds giving. And you know what? It's even in small things. And so Ben Azai teaches us an attitude when it comes to mitzvos, and it's an attitude we can apply in our daily lives. Heve ratz. He begins by telling us, run after mitzvah kala. If people can only see that their spouses are trying their best to do what will make them happy, and it's a question of, are we ready to see it? Because more often than not, people really are. And that's what we have to try. And borech min avira, run away from anything that might be a sin, even if it doesn't seem like it's serious. It's just a slight comment. It'll just slightly get on her nerves if I do that. It's just slight. Yeah, okay, well, that's the attitude. Am I running away from those slight things? And it's an attitude in mitzvos and averus. It's an attitude between people too. Yeah.
Can the Rav expand on setting the tone? What exactly that entails?
I think that many times husbands expect certain things to be in the home, and I think that anything you want to see, you have to illustrate and you have to give. If a husband wants there to be more affection, give more affection. If a husband wants there to be more time together, so fine, you initiate. If a husband wants there to be more calmness in the home, so you show how there can be calmness. It's very easy to make demands. If you stand and you analyze the day and you figure out, okay, how can we make this work? And then you say, okay, very often a husband says, why don't you greet me with a smile at the door? Well, do you greet her with a smile at the door? You know, there are many things that we always expect to receive, and the truth is we have to demand of ourselves to give. Very often there's a tone that husbands want in the home, and I think that a husband says, why don't we talk more Divrei Torah at the table? No, so why don't you talk more Divrei Torah at the table? Yeah, but when I start, she switches the topic. I know she switches the topic. Women switch the topic of anything, you'll start talking at the table. That's the way their conversations work. Fine, so what? So you talk Divrei Torah. You'll bring a good story, and she'll come back to it. You bring a good medrash, she'll come back to it. She switches the topic 15 times during the conversation. So what? Okay. You want to marry a man or a woman? You want to marry a woman. Part of being a woman is that the way they talk. They switch topics all the time. Fine. I'm saying that there are a lot of things like that where the husband has to realize he's setting the tone. And in a minute we'll expand on that. There's another key point here. The Tosfos Yom Tov says over here, Sheschar avera avera. We said in the end of the Mishnah, we're skipping to the end for a minute. He says, on the end of the Mishnah says, the wages of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. In heavens, if you do one mitzvah, they'll help you do another mitzvah. The wages of an avera is an avera. That doesn't mean that in heavens, if you do one avera, they'll help you do another avera. They don't ever do that in heaven. The idea is, when a person does something sinful, he's ruined his nature on some level. He, as that person, is now a slightly worse person because of what he did. And Hashem leaves him that way. It's up to him to climb out of the pit he dug for himself. But what's in the affirmative? If a person does a mitzvah, he's a better person. Very often, we have this picture of what we'd like our house to look like. It never does. Never. I mean, you could have the best wife in the world, the best partner, and, well, fantasies are just that. They're fantasies. And then when you hit real life, suddenly there are kids pouring cereal on the table and pulling one another's hair, and the Shabbos table is drawing on the wall, right? And the Shabbos table just doesn't look the way you imagined it would look. It could be that 15, 20 years down the road you'll get there. Maybe. But the norm is very different from our imagination. That's usually the way it works. And very often also in the relationship, things aren't exactly the way we envisage them. And very often a person starts saying, you know, I wrote her 10 notes this week. She didn't even write me one note. I sent her 15 emails telling her how much I love her. She didn't even bother sending one. When I say you set the tone, so I think part of the idea is a person, as much as we're married, we're still an individual. And the person has to always demand of himself to be a positive person. I will be a good giving person. It's normal that I also want to receive, but I have to realize, wait a second, did I give in order to get back, or did I give because I'm a good person? Schar avera avera, the Mishnah says, you know what happens when a person does something bad? He is now slightly bad. He is a different person. You know what happens when a person does something good? It's not only that he's slightly better, he is also slightly more apt to do something better. And it's cyclical. The worst thing that can happen in a marriage, well, I guess one of the worst things, is that one of the spouses starts feeling they're taking advantage of me. I know of a beautiful marriage that the couple already married off children. And then someone was able to convince one of the spouses that they were being taken advantage of. And once they convinced them of that, it took 4 years for the marriage to dissolve. But that's it. Even though they'd been married over 20 years, they already had grandchildren. You know, it wasn't a new marriage. But the second a person enters that frame of mind, I'm giving so much and I'm getting so little, so then you know what? There's a lot to put on the bandwagon. Because if I'm comparing, so I can see a lot that I do, and I can see a lot that I would like to see getting done and it's not getting done, the Mishnah tells us an attitude we have to develop. I have to run after. I have to be a positive person. Will I get back? Will I not get back? I'd like to get back. It's good to get back. It's pleasant to get back. It's fun to get back. But my focus can't be on what I receive. My focus has to be on where am I going? Where am I trying to go to? And it's cyclical. If I get used to giving, I'll continue giving. Let's rewind. Let's go back to the story of that tremendous truck driver who comes with a truck filled with camels. And he is this big, burly guy. And he gets off the truck and he's at the entrance to the city. And there's a motel there. And a young girl who helps her parents run the motel, she comes out and she says, "Mister, can I get you a glass of water?" And this big, huge, burly truck driver says, "Well, yeah, I am kind of thirsty." So she runs, the water isn't working in the inn, she runs down the block, and she gets this huge keg that's about the size that she is, and she fills it with water, And she brings it back with a cup and she says, "Mister, here, drink as much as you want." And she pours him a drink, she pours him another drink, she pours him another drink. And then she says, "Gee, they must be pretty thirsty." She runs down with her keg again and refills it and brings it and fills it for one camel. And then she runs a second time for the second camel and a third time and a fourth time and a fifth time. You know, 10 camels. That's a lot of water. You guys know how much camels drink? It's a lot of water. And at the same time, there's this big burly guy. You know, she's a little girl. He's a big burly truck driver. You know, he could carry 15 kegs on his shoulder. She could barely carry one. You know who we're talking about, right? We're talking about our matriarch, Rivka, Rebecca. So he wasn't a truck driver. He was Eliezer, the top servant. But, you know, he was big. He was big. Eliezer was, according to one medrash, he was a giant. Yeah. There are all kinds of midrashim about how big he was. One medrash says that he used to lift camels, you know, to lift weights. He could lift a lot more than this little girl could lift. But what's her attitude? Is her attitude, "This isn't fair. Why am I getting him the water? You know, he can get the water for himself. The well's right here in front of him." Or is her attitude, "There's a man who just came from the road and I have to give him to drink." Is her focus on what could he be doing or her focus on what can I be doing? Two different focuses. You know what? In every marriage, we have a choice. What am I going to focus on? What can I be doing? So that's what the Mishnah says. Hevei ratz lemitzvah kala. Notice the pasuk stresses that Rivka ran. Ran to do a mitzvah. It's a small mitzvah. What's the big deal? It takes a few minutes. I'll fill the water, right? Run to do it. Uvoreach min avera, and run away from sin, because that's an attitude. And it's interesting, you guys see it too. A person who's in the habit of making jokes at people's expenses keeps making jokes at people's expenses and keeps doing things that only hurt people and make them distant from him. And a person who's in the habit of saying the positive, well, they'll keep saying the positive. And that's what the Mishnah says. Shemitzvah goreret mitzvah. One mitzvah brings on another mitzvah. And that's another important point. Sometimes in chinuch, when we educate our kids, we want them to do what's right for the right reasons. And it's an admirable goal, but we have to be patient. One of our children didn't want to go to shul. So I asked the rabbi, what do you think we should do? So he said, bribe him. He says, make sure there's a candy man. So every shul I went to, I'd bring my own candy, in case there was no candy man. And when he wasn't looking, I'd find someone in the shul who I could say, "Could you go over and give him a candy?" and so he started getting candies. And of course, if I'm supplying the candy men, so I could know which candies he likes, right? So we can work out well. So he'd come to shul and just sit there. You know, he's a spectator sport. Who's the candy man today? That was what davening consisted of in the beginning. But you know what? Mitzvah goreret mitzvah. You get used to it. So then one week he started being in charge of collecting sidurim, and one week he was in charge of opening the Arna Kodesh for Anim Zemiras, and suddenly they're offering him to say Psukei Dezimra, and slowly things develop. As parents, we very often want to see everything exactly right. Why is he coming to shul? Just to eat a candy? Yeah, so today he's coming just to eat a candy. Give him time. We have to have patience. Mitzvah goreret mitzvah. Just get into the habit of doing that which is positive. And we have to know that it goes the other way too. Sheschal mitzvah mitzvah, the Mishnah tells us that in heavens, if a person does one mitzvah, then they try to make it available that he'll do another one. Uschal vera vera. And as we discussed earlier. Okay, Mishnah Gimel, maybe we'll shut the heat. I think people's heads are drooping. Maybe it's me, but maybe it's also the heat. Mishnah Gimel. Hu haya omer ben Aza used to say, "Al tehivaz lechol adam." Don't disgrace anyone. Don't figure, well, what's he worth? Very often people are new to a family and they have opinions. I'm not talking about their opinions of their in-laws only. I'm talking about their opinions of their brothers-in-law. Of all the wonderful family you move into. I was once dating a girl and I came back, for some reason she wanted me to meet her family, and I did. And I wasn't too impressed. And I came back, and I spoke to a rabbi who I was friendly with, and he said to me, "Look, marriage is like going into a barn. You know, there are all kinds of smells in a barn. The barn you grew up in, you're used to the smells. To you, that smells like home. The barn you didn't grow up in, you walk in and you say, boy, it stinks here. So he said, that's what marriage is. So you walk into their home, and suddenly you smell all the smells. But when you're in your own home, that's home to you, that you're used to. So the Mishnah warns us, and the Mishnah says, I didn't marry that girl, by the way, for other reasons. Alti vaz lechol adam. Don't disgrace any man. Doesn't matter if he's smart or stupid. Doesn't matter if you think you're never going to get anything from him. A person always has to value the human being as a human being and not deride anyone. Valti maflig lechol davar. And don't think anything is distant. Shenlecha adam shen lo shah. There's no person who is created who doesn't have his time where he will be necessary to the world. Venlecha davar shen lo makum. And there's no item that doesn't have its place where it will be necessary. So the Mishnah is teaching us an attitude of respect. The fact that I don't see the value in something doesn't mean I shouldn't value it. There was a couple I knew who, one of the spouses had a sibling that was retarded. And the one who was fresh to the marriage met that sibling and had a very hard time respecting them. So what are you going to say? The sister that's retarded is smart? I can't say that. What are you going to say? She's a human being. You should treat a human being nicely. Yeah, that's what you're going to say. The Mishnah says, Al tivaz lechol adam. You can't deride anyone. And one of the things that's challenging, especially to a young couple, is that the husband feels a certain loyalty to his wife right away, and he expects it from his wife back. And you have to be prepared that in the very beginning, her loyalties are with her family. And as time goes on, she'll become more and more loyal to the marriage, but there still remains a very strong loyalty to her own family. And so this goes both ways, but I'm talking to you guys. People are sensitive, and Chazal warned us, a ger for 20 generations, don't forget where he comes from, don't insult the people he comes from. We had, in the yeshiva, we had once a ger who came from a country that had a strong soccer team. And when Israel would be playing his country's soccer team, so he wouldn't root for Israel. So he was a ger tzedek, you know. I'd eat his food and everything. I believed in him completely, you know. I'd set him up with my sister. I don't have a sister. But I believe in him completely. But you know what? His loyalty was still to his soccer team when he saw the soccer game. And there are many little things that work that way. And it's very easy to say, well, that's not so important. The Mishnah says, Al tihi maflig lechol davar. Us men especially have a way of doing that. And one of the reasons is because women don't express themselves as overtly as men. There was once a guy who was dating a girl, and it went well. We set them up. Date number one was okay. Date number two was okay. Date number three, she calls me up and she says, I want to break it off. So I said, what's wrong? She said, well, he showed up to date number one with flowers. I told him, please don't do that. He showed up to date number two with flowers and chocolate. He showed up to date number three with flowers and chocolate and a book. And that's it. I told him to stop doing it. He's not stopping to do it. It's over. So I said, look, I have no issue. You want to end it, end it. I'm not telling you you're wrong. But if the issue is that you told him to stop and he didn't listen, if that's the point, so then let me just ask you one question. Did you say, I don't remember his name anymore, but we'll make it up. Did you say, Chaim, look, this really bothers me. And I would like you to stop bringing me gifts because it's not right. Or did you say in such a laughing, half apologetic, oh no, you shouldn't have, and then went on with the date. So she said, the latter. So I said, well, Chaim is a guy and you're a girl. So if you were talking to a girl, then that would mean I said, no, and don't do it again, you dunce, right? But to a guy, that means like, well, maybe not. That's the way us guys talk. I said, look, You want to end it, I respect that, you know, it's your life, I'm not telling you you're wrong, because I had a hard time, the guy really was wrong, you know, and I didn't want to make it seem like he was right, that's her call, I really didn't think the guy was right, And I did think that turns on some red lights. You know, when a guy starts showering gifts on the first, second, third gift, I agreed with her, but that wasn't her point. Her point was he doesn't respect what I want. So I said, if that's your point, do you mind? I won't say a word. So I'm always scared of getting involved in couples. I don't want to cause a misunderstanding. She'll think he's decent. He's not decent. I said, but do you mind maybe on the next date, sit him down and say, Chaim, look, this isn't going to continue this way. Tell him the way a boy would talk. Tell him, I don't think this is right, and I don't want you to do it again. She agreed, and they got engaged. Not the next day, but a long time down the road. They did get engaged. So us men, this alti maflig l'chol davar, don't deride anything. We have a tendency that if someone doesn't spell it out to us, then to us it seems like, what's the big deal? The Mishnah says, no. You have to respect every person, you have to respect everything. And that can include objects, if it's her cherished doll from when she was a little girl. And that can include things that she says. The Mishnah is teaching us an attitude of respect. And us husbands have a hard time with it. Chazal say, our nature is Adam tova b'peh, Ish tova b'peh. The nature of the man is he clearly says what he wants. And Isha, and don't tell the girls this, but according to the Medrash, this is part of the curse that Eve got, is Tovat Balev. That in her heart, she asks for what she wants, but with her mouth, she doesn't say it as clearly. And some men are often frustrated. Why can't you just tell me what you want? Well, you married a girl. You didn't marry a guy, right? Okay, so that's the way girls talk. The Gemara tells us that that's their nature. That they're not overt about what they want. And so part of the key to understanding what they want is to take what they say seriously. And that's a rule in all conversation. Okay, so what do we see today? The first thing we saw was about running after mitzvot and even light mitzvot, running away from avirot. Mitzvah, positive things follow up with positive things. A mitzvah brings on a mitzvah, an avera brings on an avera. We discussed the importance of, within a marriage, a person seeing the responsibility of realizing his own potential and being a positive person, not just a question of what do I get in return. And then we learned the Mishnah of respect, not deriding any person, not deriding anything. And we said this can be very easily applied to one's in-laws and one's brother-in-laws and her whole family and all the weirdos that we see there. We discussed the barn and what we see that to us everything seems like, who's he and who's that? And the Mishnah teaches us to be respectful, and that at the end of the day, you never know who's the person. Every person has their hour, and every object has their time. We'll take 1 minute for Dov's minute.